number 5. Chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Verse number 7. Well, let's start reading in the verse number 14. And we'll read down to verse number 17. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Let me read that again. That he died for all, that they which live should not live, or should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Lord, we do thank you this morning for your goodness and for your grace. And Lord, I'm already tongue-tied this morning and can't think straight, I don't guess. But I pray, God, that you would just have mercy and allow me to preach and allow me to say what must be said this morning. I pray, oh God, you'd help me to tell the truth. And Lord, you said the truth would make us free. And Lord, I believe that. I trust that. I trust this morning, God, that if I tell the truth, then the truth will work on the hearts of the people, and that your Spirit, God, going to identify with that truth and change some lives. And I pray, oh God, you'd help us to that end. I pray that you'd get the glory. I pray that you'd get the honor, God. The preacher don't change people's lives. You change lives. And Lord, I pray with all of my heart, God, that you would just help us to focus on what's being said here for just a few minutes. And then, Lord, help us, God, to fall in love with the concept, with the idea of this message, God. And I pray you'd help us to chase it, to pursue after it for the remainder of our days. And we'll thank you and praise you for everything that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. All right, let's look back up there in verse number 14. And it says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Just God's love ought to be enough to just grab you by the heart and shake you around a little bit and say, hey, you need to pay attention here just a little bit. That word constrain, that's what your mama did when you told lies. She constrained you not to do that anymore. Amen. When your dad told you to mow the yard and you wasn't quite motivated to get out there and mow it, that your daddy constrained you to go out there and do it. He made you willing, amen, to want to go out there and mow it. Better than getting a whooping, ain't it? Well, the Bible says the love of Christ constraineth it. The idea that God would love us enough to die for us, love us enough to send his only begotten son when we were unworthy, unlovable, when we didn't merit anything of our own, the Lord sent his son to die for us. I talked about that a little bit at the close of Sunday school, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. He loved us while we were ungodly. He loved us while we were sinners. And that in itself ought to get a hold of your heart. That in itself ought to motivate you. That in itself ought to give you some cause for hope, some cause for purpose. I mean, that ought to just show you something. That ought to give you enough get up and go that you could be motivated to do something for God, even when you felt like doing something else, maybe taking care of yourself. Maybe you could have got rest today. Maybe you could have took a day off. I mean, after all, we went to church all week long. Could have took the day off. But the love of Christ said, hey, I went all the way to Calvary for you. And you said, boy, I guess I'll go all the way to church. Not going to go halfway to church. Go all the way to church this morning. And boy, that old preacher, he's a boring preacher. And sometimes he just carries on and on and on and on and on. Sometimes God had to send Moses in here to say, let my people go. But boy, the Lord went all the way to the cross for me. So I can go hear that old long-winded windbag. Amen? Well, the Bible says the love of Christ constraineth us. I mean, sometimes the flesh just ain't motivated to do something for God sometimes. But the Bible says the love of Christ will constrain you. It'll encourage you. It'll tell you to go an extra mile. The love of Christ says when a man says, give me your cloak, you give him your coat too. The love of Christ says when a man says, go with me a mile, you go with him 2 miles. That's what the Bible says. Jesus taught about that in the Sermon on the Mount. And so he says, the love of Christ constraineth us,
Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Everybody's dead. The Bible has nothing to do with some people born to go to heaven, some people born to go to hell, some people born and on the way to heaven, some people born on the way to hell, some born saved, some born lost. The Bible says nothing about that, but the Bible says all of us were dead. All of us were dead. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. All that means is everybody out there on the street got the same need that you had when you come to Christ. When you come to Christ, you needed redemption. Those people need redemption. When you come to Christ, you needed salvation from your sins. That's exactly what the world out there needs. When you came to Christ, you needed help with addictions. That's exactly what those people out there need. When you came to Christ, you had problems with yourself and with others. And that's the problem that those folks out there got. They got the same problems you got. So I see that old fellow that lives over there next to me, there's no help for them. Listen, if there was help for you, there was help for him. Amen. You look around, you see what the world does to people and how the world tears down people and how the world makes people. I mean, listen, have you ever seen the hands of a farmer? Some of you folks right now, you don't have to do hard work. You look at your little hands and they're soft and you know they're not calloused, they're real soft. But I tell you what, you go out there and you beat them over stumps and you run through the mud and the dirt with those plows and those leather chains and leather whips and chains and bridles and handle that stuff and throw hay up in the barn all day long and you work. The life of a farmer, those hands get coarse and beat up and rough, and they've been made hard by the labor that they went through. Well, that person you're seeing out there on the street that's beat up and weather-worn, and they don't look like much, and they look like they're so hard and fierce and tough, that's because they've been working in this old world. They've been working in this old sin and all this filth. It just made them look hard. Underneath, they got the same soft core you've got. And they'll respond to the gospel the same way you did. Some may reject it, but some of them not going to reject it. Some of them not. He said, the love of Christ constraineth us because we thus judge. We made a judgment call. Well, if he died for all, then all must have been dead. He wouldn't have just died for some. I mean, listen, I've heard men say, well, if I was the only one, he would have died for me. No, sir, Adam was the only one. He could have died for Adam right there. Finished the whole deal right there, but he didn't. He died for us all. Yeah. Amen. He was waiting until all of us was around. Amen. And that's what he did. He died for us all. And so he says, and that he died for all, that they which live... This is one of the reasons, one of the purpose that he died for us. He died for all that they which live, that's you. Was you lost? Was you lost? Are you found? Well, now you've got a purpose. You got a purpose you didn't have before. Before you got saved, the only thing you was trying to do in this world was feed your belly, feed your wife's belly or your husband's belly, and have as much fun as you possibly could. That's all, if you could get out of work in order to go fishing, that's what you'd do. Amen? But if you had to go to work and so you could go fishing, that's what you'd do. That's all you're trying to do, take care of yourself. Now you got a purpose, the Bible says, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. You got a higher purpose. You got a higher calling. You got a higher calling this old life than you used to have. I mean, there's something bigger in this life than you. And as far as eating goes, David said he's counted the words of God better and higher and more dear than his necessary food. I wonder if you would trade a meal for a verse of Scripture. Well, you know, it's time to eat, but I've been studying on this verse right here, and boy, I just ain't going to get up from this table till I know what this verse is about. I've heard people say, I can't understand the Bible. How much effort had you put into it? It's more necessary, but it's a higher calling. It's more important that you learn the doctrines of that book. It's more important that you learn the reason that God has you here, God's will for your life. It's more important that you learn that than that you eat your next 10 meals. Amen. Hey, when Jesus Christ got about his Father's business, he took 40 days off from eating. John the Baptist baptized him, said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And the Lord said, before I go eat, before I do anything else, I'm going to go out there in the wilderness. I'm going to get by myself. I ain't going to eat. I ain't going to do anything that's going to give my own self pleasure. And he said, I'm just going to make dead sure for certain that I got the right direction. That's what he did. That's what he did. That's what he did. That's the way you ought to go after your purpose. Say, I don't understand the book. Stay in it a little longer. Hey, I realize that the most fun that you're ever going to have is when things are going right. Boy, when you get in there and you understand the verse, it gives you that inspiration to go to the next verse. And boy, when God speaks to you out of a chapter, you say, boy, I believe I stay long enough to get one more chapter. I mean, just one more chapter will do. But listen, sometimes you're not going to understand one word in one chapter, and you're just going to have to go over it again and go over it again. You know, sometimes I read my Bible and it's so clear. So clear. And you know, I'm not educated. I'm not very smart, but I do understand words. I understand that if I read a word, I know what it means. If I don't know what it means, I can look it up in a dictionary. But do you know, I'll read some chapters in that book and I'll get all the way to the end. I say, what did I just read? I didn't understand one word in that. I know all those words, but what does it mean? I mean, God put some stuff in that book, and it seems like he just, sometimes when you're reading it, it looks like he took a bunch of words from different sentences and put it in one sentence, and I'm looking at that thing like, that don't make no sense. But that's the time where you want to say, well, I could go mow the yard. But don't go mow the yard. Stay in there a little bit longer. You say, why? Because you got another purpose. God got other plans for your life rather than just mowing your yard and feeding your belly. Amen. Amen. Higher. Things are going to last a long time. You mow that old yard, it's going to... Listen, I've been without my lawnmower for 2 weeks now. My grass was getting high. Brother Calvin didn't come rescue me. I'd be walking around in the jungle with one of them machetes trying to find my way back and forth to the car. He come mowed the front yard for me. I was thankful for that. Well, getting high, coming out of house, going to church, and you know, you don't want to go to church with grass stains off. I'm over here. If the neighbors saw me come, they'd probably think I was crazy going in the car like this. You walk around like that in public, they'll put you away. Amen. Well, he helped me out with that. But see, God got more. Listen, if that's all you got to look forward to the rest of your life is punching in the clock, punching out a clock, coming home, sitting down at the table and eat. Boy, that makes life sound, you know, all that stuff does have its own fun to it about it. I mean, I'm not saying nothing bad about that, but surely there's something else in this life besides punching a time clock, eating a meal, kissing your wife, going to bed, waking up the next day and doing it all over again. Boy, God don't want you to spend the rest of your life doing that. There's a higher cause. There's a higher calling. There's a bigger purpose than that. I wish you would read Romans chapter 1 when you go home. Just go home and take out Romans chapter 1. And boy, he says stuff like, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. You know, Brother Brian, if you was able to pull up beside one of your friends and tell them something about the Lord and that would help them out, there'd be so much more pleasure in that than sweating on a lawnmower in the southeast Georgia sun. Because I tell you what, when you get done mowing your yard, there's some fellas in here that mows yards for a living. You know what I'm talking about. When you get off that mower at the end of the day, boy, you don't want to keep on. I mean, you don't want to jump right back on it, do you? Sometimes I bet you've had to talk yourself into going the next day, hadn't you? Yes, sir. But I tell you what, once you pull up next to one of your friends, say, let me show you this verse of Scripture. Talk to him for 45 minutes and you done chewed their ears off and they done left and went to their house or went somewhere else. You're sitting there going, I wish I could have told him this and that and the other thing. Brother Nathan asked me a question in my office. Sometimes 45 minutes later, I can see him backing up towards the door. He won't get away, but I'm wanting to tell more. It's more fun. It's more fun than mowing the yard. It's more fun than that. This little fellow that come over here from Joy, he caught me up in my office the other day before I could get to the food. And he asked me a question. I thought about the food. I thought about him. I said, here we go. 20 minutes later, made us miss that vegetable pizza. I was going to try that. I never tried a vegetable pizza. But it was all gone by the time we got over there. Well, what happened? I just wanted to tell him something else. I said, well, he asked me a question. I answered his question. I said, let me tell you another thing. Amen? Because after the food's gone, after the work's done, after all that stuff, it's just gone. You got to maybe do it again sometime, but that's just all there is to it. But boy, this stuff right here going to last forever. The truth is going to endure forever. The truth is going to endure forever. Working for the Lord is the only thing that's going to last you forever. And when you leave this world, only the things that you've done for the Lord is going to go with you. That's all you can take with you. That's all you can take with you. The only thing you can take to the judgment is the things that you've done for the Lord. You take anything else beside that, it's going to go in the fire and burn up. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So, well, one time I did this and I really done that. Well, your works are going to be judged, but only the things that are done for Christ, the quality things for Christ, those are going to come through. Those are going to be. So he says, the love of Christ constraineth us because we thus judge. That if one said, well, I help little old ladies across the street. That's good for the little old ladies. That's commendable to you. But God's not judging you on you if you help people across the street. He's judging you on whether or not the cause of Christ. Listen, sometimes we'll go to the food place down in Jacksonville. We'll buy a bunch of food, bring it up here. If you got need in the church, you can have it. If somebody else in the community, if they need it, they can come get it and eat it if they want to. But God is not going to let us into heaven, and God is not going to commend us on how many people we've fed. We ought to feed one another. That's one of the duties of man. But boy, with the cause of Christ, that's different. You know, one time this lady come and this little girl sang about the other night and she broke the most expensive thing that she had and poured that oil on Jesus' feet. Somebody said, oh, what a great waste. They could have took care of the poor with that. You know what Jesus said? You're always going to have poor people to take care of. You can do that anytime. But serve me, that's a special thing. If it costs you extra money, if it costs you extra time, if it costs you a little bit of hardship, if it costs you a little bit of headache, listen, if you got to go deal with that same numbskull that you've had to deal with since 1962, just keep on going back and dealing with that numbskull, because that numbskull is who Jesus died for. He shed his blood for that numbskull. Hey, that guy's an idiot. He just keeps on doing bad things. Well, keep on going back and doing good things for him. You say, what? Because that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. I'm going to just give up on him. Why? Well, I ain't going to pray for my uncle no more because I've been praying for him for 25 years. Hey, keep on. That's the good thing. Hey, let your yard go for 10. Hey, when you cut your grass, don't it come back up? I'm using grass this week because that's all I see at my house. Poor Brother John let Brother Mark use his car. Brother Mark left his car. Brother Mark going to have to go through the jungle there and get his car in a little bit. Amen. So this grass thing's been on my mind. But you know what? You don't cut it, just keeps growing. But if you cut it, it's going to grow back. Wouldn't it be nice if you get your yard just the way you want it, cut it one time, and it would stay that way for the rest? I guarantee you one thing, you're not going out there next week and going, I tell you what, I cut this grass every week and it keeps going back. I ain't never cutting this grass again. You can grow up into weeds if you want to. I'm done dealing with it. No, you don't do that. You go cut it every week. So them old rascals that get drunk every week, keep going back and witness to them every week. Right. Hey, them fellas get on the truck with you and cuss and carry on. I just told them last week already. Tell them again. Right. Tell them again. Tell them again. You say, well, they'll get mad and go somewhere else to work. Find out where they work. Go visit them. Tell them again. Amen. Walk in their new place of business. Say, hey, what you doing? I don't know. What are you doing here? Just come tell you about Jesus. You just as lost working over here as you was over there. Amen? Ain't no use to give up. Jesus died for him. You know what? He meant business when he done that. He was serious about that. That dying on the cross thing, that was a serious issue. And listen, he didn't die on the cross for people just in case they might believe it. He died for them whether they believed it or not. Amen. Did your mama ever correct you and say that's whether you like it or not? Yeah. Mama! I don't like this curfew you got me on. I don't care if you like it or not. No, I don't like coming in at 9. Okay, come in at 8:30. How you like them apples? See, well, sometimes listen, if you go to work tomorrow and you witness to somebody, if they ball up their fist in your face and say, I don't ever want to hear about that religious stuff again, say, okay. Just because you said that, I'm going to witness to you twice as much as I ever did. Amen. You say, well, they might sock me in the nose and knock me on the ground. Well, why are you getting up and dusting yourself off? Say, Jesus loves you. Yeah. Amen. Amen? You say, why? It's worth more. Right. It's worth more. It's worth more. Here we go again. Don't you put a lot of effort in keeping them lawnmowers running so you can cut them every week? Yes, sir. Some people got to put a lot of effort in just to keep folks hired to run them lawnmowers. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Put some effort into some real things. They say, Brother Mike, I'll be to the revival if nothing else comes up. What kind of talk is that? Why don't you let revival be the thing that comes up? Hey, I'll be down at the baseball game unless church happens. You know, I'll be down at the bingo game this week, but Brother Mike might call a surprise revival. We might have to go to church. You ever heard somebody give an excuse like that? No. Well, they say, hey, come to church with us. Well, if nothing else happens, I'll be there. Well, something else is going to happen. Listen, the devil going to give you plenty. No, let's don't blame it on the devil. Let's just blame it on you. You are going to come up with plenty of excuses not to come to church. Amen. But we thus judge that if Jesus died for all, then we're all dead. Amen. So there's a reason, there's a purpose. That he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. That means there's something else. There's somebody else to live for. You know where all your depression comes from? And I'm going to say all. It might be 99%, but I'm not going to argue about the difference between that. You know where your depression comes from? Living for you. Boy, I got to find a way to make me happy. That's more grief going to come that way. Do you know if you let somebody borrow $5 and they didn't pay you back, you'd be a little bit disgusted with them? And if you told somebody, now look, I got to be at the doctor's office at 12 o'clock and you're supposed to give me a ride, please be here in time to get... If they showed up at 12:30, you'd be depressed with them. And you know good and well that same feeling of disgust that you feel with other people when they let you down is the same thing you're sitting in your room feeling about yourself. I'm so unworthy. Well, listen, that's because that's where you emphasize on you. If it's somebody else, you'll be depressed with them. If it's yourself, you'll be depressed with you. If it's your inabilities, if it's your failures, if it's your lack of personality, I don't know what it is. But listen, put that emphasis on somebody who will not fail you. God will not fail you. God will not let you down. God will never be unfaithful. God will never give you a purpose that will break your neck. He'll never give you a job assignment that'll land you in the wrong place. He's never going to give you a bum steer. Never, 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 never. So who are you going to be mad at? It's just you. It's just you. You say, well, I've tried everything and I just feel so bad. Well, stop. Stop trying that stuff. I've tried to be happy. I've tried to do this. Stop it. Stop it. Listen, I'll tell you what. I'm going to make you a bet. I'm not a gambler, but I'll bet you a butter biscuit. How's that? I'm going to bet you this is true 99%. You go home this week and focus on making your marriage better, I guarantee you'll have problems for the end of the week. I guarantee it. I guarantee you go home, start working on your car and try to improve it, you'll cause some problems. You might hook it up, make it run 10 miles an hour faster, but you'll burn something else up. I mean, whatever it is you're going to focus on in this world, the closer you inspect anything, the closer you inspect anything in this life, whether it's you, your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your husband, your wife, the more you inspect them, the more inconsistency you're going to find in them. You say, well, I got a good husband. Yeah, but he's well trained. But nobody ever trained human nature out of him. The closer you look at him, let's just sit down. Let's go to a marriage counselor and sit down and inspect our lives. You're about to mess things up. You say, well, how can I improve my marriage? You get your little wife by the hand, get her down to the church, get her down to the altar, dedicate your life to something bigger than you are. I guarantee you'll both be this. You'll be as sweet as you was when you were sweethearts. Focus on you, you're going to be disappointed. I don't recommend self-esteem. I recommend Christ's esteem. Amen. Amen. So he says that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. You know what we see over here, these two fellas? You can look at them on the outside all you want to, but I tell you, as a Christian, you better start looking at them spiritually. That's a soul that Christ died for. It's a soul that Christ saved. Now that's not Stephen Irie's son. Y'all do know his name. His daddy used to be the pastor here. Y'all know him as Stephen Irie's son, Nathan. But that ain't who he is no more once you get saved. That's God's son.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's Brother Nathan.
Yeah.
That's Brother Nathan now.
Amen.
See, you get in church, you start thinking, well, all these guys are... No, they're not weird. They're your brother. Their God is your God. Their dad is your daddy. Their father is your father now. See, you look at things different. Well, I don't think I'll go to church over there because that old Nathan Irie, you know, he's not right and he don't do this right and he don't do that. Hey, the Bible says if you don't love your brother who you have seen, how can you say you love God who you have not seen? Well, if he's so messed up, maybe I'll go down there after all today and help him. I'll get him straightened out. And while you're on your way, the Lord going to peck you on the shoulder and say, now, he sure does need that little thing got out of his eye, but you get it out of yours before you start messing with his. So you start looking around and say, well, somebody help me get right so I can help him get right. Now, that's the way it ought to work. I'm not saying it works like that every time. In most places you go, they'd be over here fighting with one another. I'm right. No, I'm right. No, I'm right. No, I'm right. See, that just makes a mess of things. Too many eyes in that, wouldn't it? But we're not supposed to live to ourselves. We're supposed to live for Christ who died for us. Amen?
Amen.
Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. That fella out there in the world with hair like you wouldn't have and clothes like you wouldn't wear and cars like you wouldn't drive and living in a house like you wouldn't live in, those guys, those people out there, you're not supposed to see them as poor people or dumb people or any other kind of thing. You're not supposed to see them as Republicans or Democrats. You're not supposed to see them like that no more. You're supposed to see them as lost souls. Lost souls for whom Christ died. And boy, if you look at somebody like he's my political opponent, you have reason to fight with him, see? But if you look at him as a man on his way to hell, boy, you forget your religion, you forget your politics, you forget all that stuff and say, hey, let me talk to you about Jesus a little bit. Because you can't, if he's going to hell, there's nothing you can do for him. You can't die for him. But you are a messenger for the one that can do something for him. Amen. Amen. Then a lot of this outward stuff goes away. And I've said it 100 times. I'll say it 100 times more. Now, you can do something behind my back because I'm not all-knowing. But the first time I ever see a clique form in this church, a little political division, I'm asking half of you to leave. You say, why? Because there's only going to be one clique around here. That's God's clique. Yeah. Amen? And we ain't going to do it my way, and we ain't going to do it your way. We're going to do it God's way.
Yeah.
You say, why? Because God got better plans than you got.
Amen.
God got better plans than I got. I got plenty of plans about formulating a building and all kinds of stuff. I got plenty of plans, but we'll go by God's plan.
Right.
Amen? And if you want to divide up amongst the rich and the poor, so half of you's leaving, probably going to be the rich ones. Why'd it get so quiet right there? Hey, I'll tell you what, most churches would be better, preachers doing the best they can to keep the rich people in the church. Oh, we got to have that, brother. God do more with 30 poor people than he can with one or two rich folks.
Amen.
Amen. Most churches would be better off if they fire about half the deacons and get rid of all the rich people. Hey, you think I'm just talking out of the side of my neck? I'm not. John the Baptist said, got a couple of his disciples over and said, boy, I'm stuck here in jail. Won't you go ask Jesus if he's really the one or not? See, people get discouraged when things ain't going right. He said, hey, go ask Jesus if he's the one. I mean, I'm sitting here in jail. You know that's what's going on in his mind, don't you? And John's disciples went over to Jesus and said, John wants to know if you're the one or not. And Jesus said, well, I'll tell you, you can give him some proofs. And one of those proofs was, the gospel is being preached to the poor, to the people that ain't got nothing. Get you a slick, shiny new preacher out of seminary, they'll go visit the finest houses in the territory. Got to get all this stuff. And they'll find the people that's the most talented. Boy, we got to get the most talented people in here. Listen, there's a preacher that says, if you'll get your music all situated, everything will fall into place. No, I tell you what you do. You get the gospel and where the gospel needs to go, and everything will fall into place. If we all sing out of tune, that'll be all right. Amen. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. That's exactly right. God didn't send you here to showcase your talents or nothing else. God sent you to drag an old rugged cross down the middle of the main street and said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
You're right. That's good.
You say, well, the society people want nothing to do with all that excitement and emotionalism. Well, there's only one other place they could go then. You say, where's that, First Baptist Church? No, hell is what I'm talking about. Amen. 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 I think I've killed the spirit. There was a fine spirit in here. Amen. About half you rich people get right with God, be a better place. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I'm going to preach on it some more then if you ain't going to say amen real loud. Listen, what most people's problem is, they got $50 in the bank so they ain't got to ask nobody for nothing. You wouldn't call on God or cry or get on the altar for nothing because you don't need God no way. You got enough money to handle your problems. Did you hear? That wasn't Greek, amen, or Latin or nothing else, Hebrew. That's plain English. You need to get right with God. So I got $1,000 in the bank. Find somebody poor and give it away. That's truth. That's the truth. Amen? That's a little bit better. We'll touch on that some more tonight, maybe. Yeah, he says, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. These are saved people. These are my brothers. These are my brothers in Christ. Amen? Amen. Somebody asked me one time, said, why are you going to Folkestone? That's a graveyard for preachers down there. Well, best thing that ever happened to a graveyard. I'll bet you $5 that Lazarus was sure glad that Jesus was willing to go to a graveyard.
Amen.
Laying in there, he's probably laying in there wrapped in his grave clothes going, boy, I stink. That's what everybody thought about him. Jesus starts heading out for him and said, Jesus said, take me to where he's buried. They said, by now he stinketh. He'd been in the grave a long time. Lazarus probably laying in there going, oh man. Something stinks in here.
Right.
You ever done that? You ever done that and found out it was you? What is that stink? I went in my room the other day and it stank. I was like, somebody stinking's been in my room. I was like, wait a minute, this is my room. Start cleaning up, amen? Old Lazarus laying in there and all of a sudden he hears this voice coming through solid rock wall saying, hey Lazarus, get up, buddy.
Yeah.
Jesus said, y'all better roll that stone away so he can get out.
Yeah.
Here he comes crawling out. Whose voice was that I heard? You know, I bet he didn't run to his mama or to his little wife or none of those people. I bet he ran right to the one that called him out of that old rat hole. Hey, a couple days later, Jesus eating there. He's sitting at the table. People hated it so much they wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill Lazarus just because he got raised from the dead. Lazarus is minding his own business. He didn't even go on a preaching campaign. People get saved, get a little bit interested in the Bible. They assume they're a preacher. I'm a preacher. Oh, Lazarus got raised from the dead. You going to top that? God saved me out of the bars, bless God. God saved Lazarus out of the grave. All Lazarus had to do was show up with Jesus and sit around. And people start going, that's Lazarus right there. We got to get rid of Lazarus because he's there. More people going to believe on Jesus than believe on us. So the Bible said they wanted to kill him just because him sitting at a table was better proof than all the reasons they can give. And I tell you what, some of you low down rascals, you just sitting right here on the pew this morning, some of those other religious jerks out in the community saying, just because you're sitting here clothed and in your right mind, we got to do, we got to say, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll tell every bad thing that John ever did, and that'll fix him. No, that ain't going to fix him. You can say Lazarus stinks all you want to. That ain't going to change the fact he's sitting there eating with Jesus. Amen. Oh, I know what that Henry McCall did. Big deal. Big deal what he did. Big deal what he did. He's sitting with Jesus and can't hardly stand it. One time I preached an Easter service, and all I did was preach the gospel that morning. Just preach the gospel. An old man named Bobby McInvale got out, the meanest man in the county. I don't know if he was the meanest, because I thought he was kind of sweet. But everybody around town said, that is the meanest man. Him and his boys will wear you out. They're so mean. They're so mean. But I remember the morning when he stood right here and said, God saved me this morning. And I don't know that he yelled like that, but I just did it for him. Amen. And jaws in the congregation were going. And listen, he didn't go out and become a great evangelist. He didn't go out and become a man of renown, but I tell you where he was every week. Bad back and all. He's sitting right back there. You know, sometimes I doubt my salvation. So once in a while, I'd say, well, a couple seconds at least. Well, boy, ain't no way I could be saved. And I remember God allowed me to preach the sermon, got Bobby McInvale saved. I'll say, that's enough. God used me. God don't use tools that ain't his unless it's for a bad thing. But I tell you what, you know what he was? He was just an old dead man sitting around with God's people. And people took notice of it. You baptized Bobby McInvale. God did it. God did it. God did that. God did that. So you know what the next verse says? It says this. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Notice the emphasis in verse 17 is not on your condition, it's on your position. See, it didn't say if a poor man be in Christ. It didn't say if a rich man be in Christ. It didn't say if a fat man be in Christ or a skinny man be in Christ. Some people put more emphasis on that than anything else. It didn't say if a good man be in Christ or if a bad man be in Christ. It said if any man be in Christ. So it must be the condition, it must be the position. In Christ. That must be the important thing. That must be the emphasis you need for your neighbor. Look at your neighbor and say, that's the worst neighbor I ever had. But is he in Christ? Well, get him in Christ. That'll fit you. That'll fit him. That'll fit him right there. Hey, I know this man. He cheats me every time I turn my back. Is he in Christ or not? God didn't say if a honest man be in Christ or if a cheater be in Christ. He said if any man be in Christ, he said he'll be a new creature. So your position will fit your condition. You know why I'm not a thief? It's not because I'm a good man. You know why I'm not a liar? Because it's not because I'm a good man. It's because my position being in Christ fits my condition. And I still consider myself to be the chief of sinners, but I'm a saved sinner. Amen. I'm an in-church saved sinner. I'm a Bible preaching in church saved sinner. I'm a sitting around with Jesus at the dinner table in church saved sinner. Just sit around. Them guys down at work, they don't fuss at you because you're saved or nothing like that. They fuss at you because it's Jesus. That's what it's about. And they weren't mad at Lazarus from getting raised from the dead. They was mad that Jesus was getting glory. They weren't necessarily saying, hey, Lazarus got up from the dead. They were saying, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Hey, next time, I made a few mistakes in my life. When I got out of the Marine Corps and got right with God, I made a few mistakes. And the chief one was not giving God all the glory right away. And I didn't mean to. I just didn't know any better. See, when I went to work on Friday, I was cussing, drinking, swearing, everything under the sun that no Christian man ought to do. I went to church on Sunday, got right with God. I come back Monday, I didn't cuss. I wouldn't run around trying to see what we could get into. Hey, you want to go down to... No, I wasn't doing none of that day. Minding my business, working, and fellas come up and said, hey, what's wrong with you? Instead of saying, Jesus done this and Jesus done that, I said, well, I started going to church and I ain't going to do that no more. It's all about me for the first couple of days. But it really wasn't all about me. The difference between me on Friday and Monday was what the Lord had done. What the Lord had done. Hey, and as long as I was saying, yeah, I turned over a new leaf, I'm going to start going to church, and I'm going to, they was fine with that. But the day I decided, hey, I'm going to start telling about Jesus. They was fine as long as, hey, I'm turning over a new leaf, I'm trying to do better. They was fine with that. Good for you. My boss man was a Pentecostal guy high up in the Church of God there. Good for you. But the day I decided, I'm going to carry my Bible to work tomorrow. And when I get the opportunity, these fellas, you know what, I'm going to tell them about Jesus. You know what happened? Well, see, when it was me, good job. When it was Jesus, well, I mean, how are you going to doubt? Lazarus sitting right there. Either Jesus did it or he didn't. I don't know if you recognize it or not, but that had to be a pretty miraculous thing. Nobody could give Lazarus credit for coming out of the grave. You know, it was different with Jesus when they, see, a lot of people get the misconception that the angels come and rolled the stone away so Jesus could get out. No, when they rolled the stone away, Jesus was gone. He even cleaned his room before he left.
Yeah.
Folded everything up. Boy, we could take some lessons right there, couldn't we, fellas?
Yeah.
I figured every woman in the building would be going, hey, amen! Yeah. But you missed your chance. No, you missed your chance. When Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, he made those men roll the thing away. And you know how they bury people over there in the Middle East, don't you? They wrap them up like mummies. They wrap them. They anoint their bodies with all these fine smelling stuffs. So what did he do? Come out like this? No, sir. He had to float out of there. When he said, Lazarus, come forth, and they rolled that stone away, here he come. Like they was rolling him on a stretcher, except the stretcher wasn't there. He just come floating out. That's the only way he could get out. Only possible way. They dig a hole in the rock and make a little hole there big enough to just put a body in, roll a stone over it. He wasn't getting up and crawling or nothing. He just come floating. How are you going to deny that's the Lord? So Lazarus got up of his own accord. No, he didn't. That's the way most, they come get religion. They walk out on their own 2 feet. Look what I'm going to do now. From now on, I'm going to do right. And from now on, I'm going to change my ways. And from now on, I'm going to conquer the world. You ain't going to do nothing. You're going to get on your face and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me. Take off these grave clothes. Free me from this old sin. Free me from this old shame. And when you go out, you'll be floating on cloud nine.
Amen.
Just here to do the will of my Savior.
Yeah.
Amen. 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 Highest calling you'll ever get.
Yeah.
Amen. And then the blessing here. The blessing. He says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You can be a brand new kind of feller. You can be a brand new kind of lady. There's some ladies in the Bible, boy, they didn't have much to be proud of. Some of them was harlots, some of them was adulteresses. And Jesus Christ sat right there in the face of one of them and said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Both of those statements are weighty. But that neither do I condemn thee. I'll be honest with you, I like that part better. Because when he says, go and sin no more, I find that a little bit difficult. But I don't have any problem with that part about neither do I condemn thee. But you know what it can do? I can try to be better than I was. And just like I told you in Sunday school this morning, I can turn from my ways. He'll give me his spirit and give me his word to give me direction. Yes, sir. You got all the hope in the world now. You might have been a bad boy. You might have been a bad girl, but you ain't that no more. Hey, stop trying to live off of what you used to be and try being something else for a little bit. That's what's wrong with the music industry this day and time. They still trying to be rock and rollers. Well, they're in church. It's not that way anymore. So, well, I just can't get a thrill from this old piano and organ music. Ain't there a thrill in your soul? Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Hey, strangle me with an organ if you have to, but it's okay because I got a new life and a new purpose. I mean, I don't need high speed. I don't need that. It's a little bit dangerous anyway. You remember how you drove when you was 18, 100 miles an hour everywhere. I catch myself being careful every once in a while. I'm not old yet, but I still, 46 years old, I catch myself being careful. One day last week, I even put on my seatbelt. I thought about it a minute and said, what am I doing? I took it back off. I was riding down the road, and I happened to look at my hands, and I was like, oh, my soul. I used to marvel at my grandma's hand because they looked like snakeskin. Her hands was wrinkled up, and I would just look at it, and I would stand there. My grandmother, she was in her 90s when I was a little boy. It was my great-great-grandmother. I said, Grandma, is that a snake? As a little boy, it really looked like snake skin. I looked at my hand the other day. I was like, Lord. Starting to get wrinkles on my hands. And the first thing I thought, I was driving back from Brother Mark's, taking Mark to the airport yesterday, and I was driving up through that traffic. I should have had my attention on the road. I looked at my hand. I seen it all wrinkled up like that. I said, uh-oh. A lot of our wrinkles and stuff comes from high-speed living. Yeah. Got to have everything exciting. You know what one of the most dangers is? For kids playing video games and stuff, the heart rate's up all the time. Now, I don't care what kind of games you play. You play checkers, you play Mario Brothers, a game is a game. I don't care about that. But one of the dangers is always got to have excitement. Always got to have your heart up. Always got... You ever played a game? You ever drove a car? You ever drove it 35 miles an hour? You arrive, everything's fine. Have you ever drove 100 miles an hour for 30 minutes going from Georgia to Delaware or something like that? By the time you get to Savannah, your shoulders is up here, your heart's racing. Why am I so stressed out? Because you're living like a maniac. You're not evil, Knievel. Well, listen. Now you folks are saved. Relax. I mean, you need some urgency about some things like prayer and getting folks saved. I understand that. But now relax. Listen, you're not a daredevil no more. You're not running drugs and none of you are bootleggers. I used to be a bootlegger. You ain't now. So you ain't half as cool as you used to be. I used to be a prize fighter. Well, you lost one somewhere along the way because you ain't a prize of nothing now. So just relax. You don't need to impress nobody. Nobody needs to be impressed with you. Nobody, you don't have to perform anymore. Brother Nathan, you don't have to preach the greatest message on earth. You just don't have to. You don't have to adopt nobody's style. You don't have to live up to nobody's expectations but God's. And God laid out a simple plan for you. Just go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's all God asks of you. So now you can be a new man. You don't have to worry about being accepted. Well, if I preach this sermon, will they like it better if I preach it this way or that way? Or should I be dynamic or should I be relaxed? You don't have to worry about any of that stuff anymore. You don't have to worry about all. You know why? Because the Bible says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Amen. If I come here and whisper to you for 30 minutes, you'd be bored, but I'd still be preaching the gospel. And if you went down to your neighbor's house and if you hollered at them or whispered to them, they'd still be getting the truth. And you'll walk away from a pulpit or walk away from a witness saying, I could have done better. But you did. You don't have to live. Listen, one man in the Bible, even about Jesus, he didn't know one way or the other. He said, I don't know if Jesus is a sinner or not. Now, don't you think that's a pretty important part of our doctrinal stand? Is the fact that Jesus was not a sinner. But this man that God had delivered, he said, I don't know if Jesus is a sinner or not, but I know one thing. Whereas I was blind, now I can see. You don't have to understand everything or know everything or be the best at knowing everything or saying everything. You don't have to live up to nobody's expectations but God. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Every one of you evangelists, we just had a great revival with a great evangelist, one of the best that's left in this country. You don't have to be him. All you have to do is be his. Amen? Amen. Brother Nathan, you come and play. Dear God, we thank you this morning for the truth. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We ask you, dear God, to help us now as folks begin to come to the altar. God, I pray you'd deal with them. I pray that you'd help them. I pray you'd encourage them. I pray, dear God, you'd strengthen them. I pray, God, you'd give us strength of purpose. Help us to renew our purpose with you. Help us to realize we don't have to outperform anybody. We just have to perform the will that you gave us in this old life to preach the gospel, to do it to the best of our abilities, God, and with all of our heart serve you. And Lord, you'll use us for your honor and glory. Help us that way is my plea. In Jesus' name I ask it. Some are here at the altar already. God dealt with your heart. Would you come? Would you do business with God? Would you ask him to help you? You're not saved. Listen, you come to the altar this morning. You can meet the man that can change your condition. He's the only one that can. Would you come this morning? You're not saved. Would you come? You're saved and really haven't dedicated yourself to the purpose of Christ. Come this morning. Get that right. Right where you're sitting in your seat, say, God, help me to live up to that purpose for which you've called me. And he'll do it. He will do it. He can do it and he will do it. While he plays, would you come?